reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, every day, to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped and, looking downcast, one of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Verbum Domini. It's very useful to take a look at the structure of all of chapter 24 of Luke. This is the one chapter where he describes the resurrection. And it's very, would be a classroom explanation, but it's very carefully structured. and the center of the whole chapter occurs here in this passage. The reason he has it structured with the first 11 verses having the women trying to finish up what they had started on Good Friday. That's what he connects it with. They went to anoint the dead body. That's what they expected. They only see an empty tomb, and they go and tell the apostles, and they don't believe it. Now, of course, they're not showing any more sense at this point than they had earlier, because why not just go and see? But no, they'd rather discuss that what they don't believe. That picks up, then they continue on with the two disciples, Clopas and his companion. The tradition in Jerusalem is that Clopas, who is identified in later writings by St. Hegesippus as the brother of St. Joseph. So this is our Lord's uncle. And the other part of it is that it's his son, Simon, who became the Bishop of Jerusalem after his other brother, James, was martyred in the early 60s. They're the ones on the road, and they are discussing their lack of faith in what the women had said. And this is what our Lord then comes. Notice how they were prevented. This is a passive form of the verb because it's a way that the ancient writers were indicate God was preventing them from seeing. This was a typical form of speech in those times, that it's the way they even call it a divine passive. God didn't allow them to recognize Jesus. And this is part of what's going on until he lays out the passages of Scripture that foretell. And I can remember as a young Jesuit thinking, why didn't St. Luke just put out the verses that our Lord talked about? Well, he does, but not here. You have to read Acts of the Apostles and see all the different verses that the apostles bring up in their sermons, like Psalm 16 and other passages mentioned by Peter and Paul and Philip and the others. They give that list by using them in the way they evangelized. This was a big part of the evangelization, and St. Luke wants us to see these verses, but the way the early church applied these verses to preach to people and prove that Christ had to die and rise again. So just keep reading. It's not done. And then, as we see here, notice how they constrained Jesus. They urged him. This is a cognate verb of what is used when Abraham urged the Lord to come and eat with him. Remember when the three visitors came and he urged them to stay and he kills a calf and makes some bread and gets them ready? It's the same verb. It's the presence of God again that is being pointed out, and they're staying, keeping Jesus to stay to eat a meal like Abraham had done when the Lord God came to him. And then they recognize the presence of the Lord. And that's the center of this, because when they only knew of an empty tomb and still didn't believe, because an empty tomb still was not enough evidence. It There are different ways to empty a tomb. But they don't believe, and in their unbelief, they engage in arguments. Both when the apostles hear the message from the women about the empty tomb, and these disciples knew only that, and they continued the arguments out of their lack of faith. And we've seen this. There was a period in recent decades where a number of theologians tried to emphasize that the first proclamation was the empty tomb, and that's all the early church knew. No, it's what they first knew. But the point is that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and then when you go, we'll hear tomorrow's gospel, the high point is not only does Jesus appear again, but he engages in depth, proving that he's real, proving that he's flesh and bone, alive, proving to the apostles in the upper room and teaching them the same passages that show from Scripture he had to die and rise again. And this becomes the basis for their proclamation, not the empty tomb, but the living Christ. And it shows that these disciples who did not believe came to believe and to witness what they saw, so much that the same people who were hiding in their disbelief in the upper room later went out and preferred to be executed rather than deny that they saw Jesus. This is the basis of our gospel, and it has to become our own proclamation of Jesus Christ.